You know, this is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
I don't need you to tell me how good my coffee is, okay?
Hello and welcome to another damn fine cup of culture. I'm once again joined by Alan. Hey, Alan.
Hello.
And even though it's now beginning of November, I think our discussion today will still fit in at least somewhat with Halloween, with spooky season, because we will be talking about one of the possibly scariest monsters in movie history and its move to television. Namely, we will be talking about Alien Earth. Alan, let's perhaps start with just the whole Alien franchise. What's your take on it? Are you a fan? Are you a bit more kind of ambivalent about it?
I certainly think Alien is in my top 10 of all films ever. I think that's an incredible film. And I have a soft spot for Aliens because it does something different. It is this sort of very impressive action-adventure film. And then everything subsequent gets judged against Alien and found to be massively wanting. The experience of going to see Alien films is you get a mild buzz of what you liked in Alien. There's a little bit of horror, there's a little bit of the unsettling, there's a little bit of the gore, but it's lost in a sea of all this stuff that, you know, isn't Alien. And therefore, I don't like it as much. So I can find positives to say about later films, but I think generally they're pretty underwhelming.
If I remember correctly, it was actually your very first podcast appearance on the Damn Fine Cup of Culture when we talked about the, what do we call it, tetralogy, the first four films. So Alien, Aliens, Alien 3 and Alien Resurrection. I would still defend Alien 3 to some extent, but I definitely agree with what you're saying. There's diminishing returns. I think those four films at least have the benefit of all of them trying something different. Alien is very much the kind of slasher horror film in space. Aliens, as you say, is mostly action horror. Alien 3 is basically David Fincher being David Fincher against the kind of resistance of the studio. And Alien Resurrection is a French Bond Disney comic book, I think, basically. And I think all of them have something going for them. But I would also say Alien is obviously the OG of them. After that, obviously, we move into Prometheus, Alien Covenant, and Alien Romulus, which we've also talked about in the past. What's your take on those? Do they do better in the kind of diminishing returns stake?
I mean, I think I sort of had a soft spot for Prometheus just because of how absolutely insane it was. And then I think we're back a little bit in diminishing returns. I enjoyed Alien Romulus more than I thought because, again, it's just, this is what you like about Alien and we're going to do it cinematically. And that there's a bit of a buzz to it. I think I've sort of likened it before to you go see a slasher film, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get like teenagers carved up by a madman. And that can be quite exciting. That can, if you're in the right mood, that's fun. Alien Romulus is like the slasher film of Alien. It is like, we know why you're all here. We're going to give you exactly what you're here for. I think Alien Covenant was probably the most disappointing one in the cinema for me. I do think it just feels all over the place. And if Michael Fassbender isn't on screen, I'm completely disengaged from it. I don't think it's very good as an alien film. I don't think there's much of a story. I think it commits a sin that I hate in all the films of humans being idiots. And so they're in such a dangerous environment. It's the moment in the film where I think it lost me. They're in this incredibly dangerous environment. And one of the characters just going, I'm going to go off on my own and have a shower. And you just think, well, no one, if you're surrounded by death, no one just goes, I'm just off to have it. And of course, I get killed in the shower. And it just felt like, well, that person just did that, so you got an alien death scene in. There's no other reason for it. And I don't like the alien, which is so perfect in the original film, suddenly being morphed into, you know, oh, it's just rent-a-kill. It'll do what we need to do. It's the equivalent of adding a jump scare to a film. It's just adding a character that's going to go somewhere to be killed by the alien. And that works in a lot of films, but it's a shame you do it with Alien because there's so much more potential there.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I liked Alien Covenant a bit better than you, but the thing is, for me, it doesn't commit the same grave mistakes of Prometheus, which really is harebrained in how stupid the characters get when they're supposed to be professionals. But at the same time, Prometheus had the benefit of ideas. It was visually amazing. It tried some stuff, and I think it failed at a lot of them, but I think it was the more ambitious of the two, where Alien Covenant felt like, let's do Prometheus, but a bit safer. And that also just made it much more mediocre. And in some ways, mediocre is perhaps worse than crazy and trying stuff and failing at some of them like Prometheus does. I think one of the things that Alien Romulus also fails at, and probably all of them fail at it to some extent after Alien and perhaps Aliens, is just with Alien, you've got this perfect cast of human characters. They all are just drawn so succinctly and so well. And you remember them. I mean, I don't always remember each of the names simply because I have a crap memory for names. But this is a fantastic cast of characters and actors. And I think there's few films that do it as well as Alien. And afterwards, basically, the characters become forgettable.
I mean, I've said before, Alien is the best sci-fi working class group ever in a film. Absolutely. There's nothing else comes close. And so many films have tried. You know, you watch them, they're setting up. They're not the scientists. They're not the heroes. These are the working class people in a science fiction story. Everyone after Alien is trying to recapture what they manage in Alien. It is the best, most well-drawn, most instantly recognizable, most instantly engaging. It creates the universe almost more than anything else is this group of people. It's genius. And I think, nothing's come out, even outside the Alien franchise. A lot of sci-fi has tried to do this since, and no one's come close.
Mm-hmm. Makes me think that perhaps we need Ken Loach's Alien starring, I don't know, Peter Mullen. Shall we start with him?
I mean, Sally Hawkins needs to be there, but I don't want to watch her die. This is like the problem.
Okay, so let's perhaps not ask Ken Loach. Do we even mention the Aliens versus Predator films in any way? Do we say anything about them? Do we have anything to say about them?
I mean, I did binge all the Alien films. I think it was sort of like coming out of lockdown project. And I absolutely loathed Alien versus Predator. It is a cheesy sort of Eric von Daniken style plot that just doesn't go anywhere. And it wastes having Predators, it wastes having Aliens. The director can't put any excitement in films with them. When they start explaining the backstory of, you know, gods coming to Earth and, you know, the Predators coming and creating this whole world, it's all done by pure exposition. The film just stops to explain it. And it is, with a lot of, I think, the director's films, there's a good science fiction idea at the heart of it, but the storytelling is dreadful. And conversely, Alien vs. Predator 2, and probably there's a big part of the bar has been set so low by this point, I did slightly enjoy in the sense that it's very much aliens coming to small town America and Predator. And it's just horrible. Like, horrible things happen to all these people in the village. It's got a nice B-movie vibe that they're coming. The aliens are coming to small town America. It's not a good film, but I weirdly found myself enjoying it more. There's some absolutely horrible deaths in it, which I kind of, you get used to the idea that by Alien vs. Predator, the deaths are going to be pretty horrible, but they're going to be people who are in danger from the outset of the film. And I think Alien vs. Predator 2, it's people in the village who do not deserve this. Suddenly, and it's not even the alien. There's horrible deaths that have nothing to do with virtually the alien and Predator. And I kind of enjoyed that, but I don't think I could recommend it as a good film. But I think by that point on the binge, the bar had been set so low that I did slightly enjoy Alien versus, as a guilty pleasure, Alien versus Predator 2. Even though it's awful, I regret saying that the moment I finished that sentence. It is an awful film, but I did sort of enjoy watching it.
Okay, let's very much hope that this doesn't end up on the back of a DVD box as the quote. Yeah. So I think all of this takes us quite neatly to Alien Earth, the TV series that came out this year. Perhaps to begin with, what were your hopes and fears for the series, if you had any, based on previous entries into the franchise, but also based perhaps on just the format of a TV series? Does that work with the Alien kind of stories? And obviously there's the series creator Noah Hawley, who'd done Fargo and Legion previously. So were you optimistic? Were you intrigued?
I think the one thing that gave me hope was Noah Hawley being involved. I can think of a list of names of people that they said they're bringing an Alien TV show. I would have been quite wary. But I think there was enough from his name to think this could be interesting. This could be worth watching. I was also slightly wary of the name Alien Earth. I kind of thought, are they going to be downplaying the sci-fi element? So I almost wanted Alien, name of far off planet or space station. That would have been felt more reassuring. But I think when the name Noah Hawley came out, I was moderately excited for the show.
Yeah, no, I think I know what you mean. I think I am not 100% on board with Noah Hawley in terms of, I think he always falls short of the potential But he is definitely, he's someone who's done interesting things with existing properties, Fargo and Legion. He's a writer with ideas and wit, even if I think sometimes his material can be a bit too meta in its remix approach and too self-conscious. And I think that sometimes gets in the way of the storytelling, but it still works pretty well. I think in terms of serious creators who have worked with genre storytelling, I don't know anyone else basically active at this time that would have made me look up the way he did. I think I was a bit afraid about just the franchise has often not known what to do with itself. And it's been kind of caught between repeating what it's done before, you know, hey, it worked, so let's do it again. Pointless pastiche, nostalgia and kind of lore masturbation, which I find the worst, you know, the kind of thing that where you get a story that wants to be a role-playing game rule book rather than a story. That is just something that I think never really works. Plus, Scott's own recent films have had interesting ideas for questionable writing. And with Romulus, I think we very much had the let's do Alien again, just not quite as good. I was also wondering whether Alien lends itself to telling stories in a long form format, especially if you've got, you know, the alien, the xenomorph killing people. Does that benefit from a story told over, let's say, 8 to 10 hours? I wasn't sure about that, but I thought, you know, if Noah Hawley does it, he will have some ideas.
I mean, I think Legion was the one that gave me the most optimism, I think, in the sense that it's playing within a genre. It's taking an established character. It's taking an established character that I knew from the comics, would not think necessarily there's a long-running TV series there. But what he did with it then created something that I think not only did sustain like a TV series, but then did stuff with a TV series I would never have expected it to do. So it was exciting by not, okay, we found the greatest hits of this character from the comics, let's just visualize them. It was something very different, but recognizably has its roots in what it took from the comics. So that, I think, was the sort of thing that thought, I think he can do this. If he does something similar with Alien, I'm in. I think that's where I was coming from.
So let's get into the specifics. What do we both think of Alien Earth? Just very quickly, what do we like and dislike? Let's start with yours, Alan.
I mean, for me, the biggest positive is the new aliens. So actually the stuff that isn't the xenomorph was the stuff that I really liked. I really liked the, without getting too bogged down in lore, I think the fact that they realized that, you know, you've had synthetic humanoids running throughout this franchise. Let's not run away from that. Let's like double down on that as part of the story. So I think they added a lot to what they are. What is the case if you are artificial or partly artificial? Can these be trusted? Can they not be trusted? I think that was something that they added successfully. I do think, again, probably going a bit back to one of Noah Hawley's weaknesses, it sometimes got quite clunky with the dialogue and sometimes the storytelling. Characters were saying and doing something, and it was almost obvious that they were doing something to just get to where the story needed to be, rather than sort of, oh, that's actually how people would talk about things. It's a minor gripe, but when you notice it, you've noticed it, and it's taken you out of it. You can't help it. And I do think that sometimes they were like, oh, we know where we want to go with the story. Oh, we're going to have to make this happen.
We'll get back to those things in more detail, but first, my three kind of likes, dislikes. I think what I like best is basically the pitch-perfect vibes. I think the series does a great job of capturing the feel, especially of Alien, without feeling like it's just a copy. I mean, there is a mid-season episode, which I'm sure we'll talk about in more detail later, which is a great Alien riff. It's basically the series doing the original Alien, without it feeling like we're just watching beat for beat the original Alien. It's a riff, it's a remix, and I think that is something that he does really well. It's recognizable, but it still feels fresh. I think my main problems were perhaps the first one. It ties in with some of what you said. I like the aliens, I like what it does with the artificial humanoids, but I also felt there's too much of everything. There's too many characters, there's too many synths, there's too many aliens, there's too many lost boys, we'll get to those later. And because of that, the themes, which the series clearly wants to do, get spread thin a bit over too many of them, which also means that I think the characters end up, by and large, weaker than what we said about the original Alien characters. But we'll get to that in more detail later. But I would also totally agree with you that the plotting and the writing is perhaps the series' greatest weakness so far. Also, the pacing in connection with this, and all of this leads to a season ending that I don't think was bad, was horrible, but it's also a bit deflating. And we'll get to that very much at the end of our conversation. But let's first talk about the positives. Let's talk about New Aliens. What was it you liked about them especially?
The main thing was a realization that what I love about Alien is not necessarily the xenomorph itself, though the xenomorph is genius. It is the horror in not knowing what this creature can do, what you're facing. You know, like, you still don't know what you're facing. What's undermined subsequent films is we know the xenomorph. We know its life cycle. We know what it does. There's no mystery there. So they're stuck having to some extent repeat what's been shown before. You sort of watch the film. It's like, oh, I know what's going to happen now. Don't look in the egg because I know what's going to happen. Don't get relaxed that the guy seems to be okay now. I know what's going to... You know, all of this is stages we've gone through before. Redoing them hasn't the same impact. And what I loved about the New Aliens in this is it recreated that thrill of suddenly thinking, what is going on? What is happening here? These are aliens that can obviously kill humans in that, you know, nature has no regard for anything that humans hold dear. They are just going to be killed because that's nature. That vibe from these aliens was great. And I enjoyed that. And that feeling made me realize that that's a lot of what I love about Alien and the first experience of watching Alien. And they recreated that. And I do think across the board on the whole idea of the franchise, I think if you're looking at making future stuff set in the Alien universe, I almost feel like don't go back to the xenomorph. Like, actually, the strength of this franchise could be to go, oh my God, this is something else awful out there that will do horrible things to human beings. Let's just work out what it could be. And I think that was the thing I really enjoyed with the New Aliens.
I mean, it's a weird thing because I still think that the Alien, the original xenomorph, as designed by H.R. Giger and as done in the original film Alien, is ingenious. I think it is perfect. And I also think that, you know, even when I rewatch Alien, which I do every couple of years, it still works for me, even though I know what's going to happen. It works much less so, as you said, when I see the same stuff happening in other films. Now, Aliens focused much more on the action, so it was okay, but that is one of the big diminishing returns. Plus, what you've said in the past, turning the alien into a bug. In the first one, it is a horror. In the second one, it is a bug, and you don't go back from, you don't return from this, really. So you are basically, you're doing pastiche of what the alien did before, and that will never be as effective. And in that respect, I agree it was necessary to introduce new aliens. And I definitely prefer what this series does to the fanfic tendency of other kind of stories in the universe, which is bringing in new variants of the existing xenomorph. You know, look, here's an alien where the host was a horse. Here's an alien where the host was a bird or a fish. Here's a warrior alien. Here's an emperor alien. Again, you get into this whole video game / RPG rulebook thing, which works for these things, but it doesn't work for cinematic storytelling, not very well. And what I like is the aliens that we get, in some ways, they are variations on a theme, host parasite, but they still don't feel just like revamps of the original xenomorph. It's spun out in much more interesting ways, even though what they end up doing on an abstract level is pretty much the same thing. They infest, they kill, they move on from that. And I think just also visually, I mean, I don't think all of the new aliens are created equally, but especially there's this one squid-like eye alien or alien, whatever we want to call it, Eileen, which is used really well. And I think it is definitely the Xeno star of the series. I mean, in some ways, I would definitely say the original taste xenomorph is the least interesting of the bunch because we've seen it so often by now. And I think the first half of the season does a good job of still giving a xenomorph action. And the second half then says, we've done that, let's move on. At the same time, I did think that it perhaps makes the original xenomorph a bit boring because it's domesticated, literally, kind of, which I think I wouldn't mind actually if they killed off the original xenomorph for xenomorphs very early in season two.
I mean, the one thing I would sort of say, and again, this is still an ongoing story, is I wouldn't be surprised if we're wrong in assuming that the xenomorph has been domesticated by Wendy, whether there's something a bit more complicated going on, that it's not such a one-way thing. I kind of wonder whether there's still dangerous angles with the xenomorph left to come. But again, yes, the xenomorph becomes weaker for that. I don't know what else you can do with it. I don't want to be as strong as saying it's a busted flush, but we know the xenomorph too well. I think it does good to play with our understanding of the xenomorph. And I think the sort of mid-season episode that like jumps into basically retelling Alien does a very good job of this is Alien for people who know Alien already. It has its own sort of surprises and twists, but there's no mystery in what's going on. Every scene where we see something as an audience, we go, oh, they have no idea how screwed they are. They have no idea. We know. And it's quite deliberately working from that angle and sort of engaging in the sense that, okay, you're not caring about what might be unfolding horror-wise. It's just enjoyable to see these people completely out of their depth.
Now, the artificial humanoids, you like those especially, and there's, of course, lots of them. There's cyborgs, there's synths, there's hybrids. What was it you liked especially about those?
I think it's probably the case that this is how, you know, you turn it into a longer-running series. You have to put characters that are more recognisably human, but obviously not human. And so I think running on that riff of saying, well, how can that manifest itself? Well, you have all the ones that are fully synthetic that we've seen before in the Alien universe. You have the interesting idea of sort of cyborgs, like humans that have decided to add bits of machinery to themselves. And then I think the sort of central conceit of the drama is these kids that have been put into incredibly brilliant synthetic adult bodies that then they're sort of seen as being the next step. These are synthetics that can... They have all the ability of synthetics, but they've got a recognizable human mind functioning within it. And I enjoyed that story. I enjoyed following it. I thought maybe it could have taken a wrong step when they set it up. These are like kids in the body of adults. That feels maybe a little bit icky, but I think they ran with that in an interesting way. I think the performances were really good. I think they felt like kids that are out of their depth and struggling. And then how they played against, I think one of the really strong characters is Timothy Oliphant's synthetic, who seems to play with, you know, he knows what he has to, he is a synthetic, he is owned by somebody, but there feels like there is enough individuality in that, that he can't break out from what he's told to do, but he kind of is like disappointed by the idiots telling him to do it. And his reaction to what he sees, these children, these hybrids, what they can be. There's some amazing moments where you kind of think he is their parent in being exasperated. They're not taking full advantage of the fact they're not human anymore. And that dynamic, I think, was one of my favorite bits in the show, that like he seemed so blunt, emotionless, and I suppose sort of that he didn't care. And then there's these moments where they just give a hint that like not only does he care, he's slightly in awe of what these kids are capable of maybe one day becoming, if only they realized it. And you have all these ideas. So I think that towards the end, the cyborg, you get the impression that he's very into the fact that he's part machine now. That this isn't something that, you know, oh, he had to do this to serve the corporation or money. It is something that is part of who he is now, and he's embraced it. So again, you have these sort of angles with the original concept, like one simple concept from Alien. And it takes it in ways that you have characters that are recognizably human. They can have dialogue. They can have scenes. So you can explore it in a way that probably isn't possible with like a faceless threat from the dark terror of the universe.
I mean, it's, of course, I think one of the most memorable characters in a set of memorable characters in the original Alien is, of course, Ash, played by Ian Holm. So I think the series has this strong history of interesting, fascinating synth characters. And I would absolutely agree, especially Timothy Oliphant's Kirsch very much continues that. It's also, I think, he is one of the characters that makes this series most fun, because this could be dour, it could be kind of depressing, it could also just be too oppressive. But I think the series is actually quite enjoyable, quite fun a lot of the time. There's definitely also a lot of black humor, and some of it at least definitely comes out of the Kirsch character. I also like his interactions with the cyborg Moro, played by Babu Cisse, and I think both of them are standouts, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think with some of the others, and especially with the Lost Boys, I'm partly with you, but I also still think, and we will get into this later, there's too many of them, so the ideas are spread across those characters. And I think it very much is the kind of series where you've got some standout characters and some kind of almost recurring guest stars that come up every now and then. And there's some ideas tied to them, but I think the series, at least in season one, doesn't really follow up on them all the time. And some of that might be that they're saving it for season two. Some of it might also just be that they kind of realized, oh, we've got two more episodes. We have to kind of move on from this. I do think also that they could have been a bit more generous at killing them off. After all, this is Alien. But again, this is something we'll get into later. I think in connection with the characters, it's definitely the vibes and atmosphere, as I said. They are recognizably Alien without just being copycat. It's not just like, you know, the best possible cover band in the universe. Hawley has obviously watched Alien a lot. He's watched all of those films. He's watched 70s cinema. He, much more than Alien Romulus, which felt like a retread, which was competent but disappointing. This one feels like an interesting, fun remix, and that's definitely where Hawley's strength lies, in remixing what we know. So sometimes giving us exactly what we know, but then also leading us up the garden path in making us expect certain things and then turning them on their head. I thought that the fifth episode, which is called In Space, No One, was a wonderful Alien riff, which felt not like a remake or not just like a remake, but it felt fresh. And as you say, it plays with us knowing what's going to happen, but in cool, fun ways. I also like that, just in terms of the filmmaking, the cinematography, it feels very 70s in many ways, in the way it uses kind of fades, in the way it uses the camera. I think every now and then it can feel a bit too much like, okay, he's done his homework, he's watched these films and he's a big fanboy. But overall, I really like that. It didn't feel like so much TV feels these days, which is kind of as if it all comes out of the same kind of algorithm.
I mean, one thing which I did really enjoy with the series, just in sort of general TV nature of it, is a problem with a lot of streaming shows at the moment is I feel they've lost the ability to tell stories episodically. And you start watching it and it becomes obvious that they've got the overarching plot and episodes are basically almost random chunks of that plot. And sometimes they might hide it a little bit by having a flash forward at the beginning of the episode that then pays off at the end. There's tricks, but you're effectively seeing this one story idea stretched over 10 episodes. And I like when the better streaming dramas, they have an overarching plot, but each episode has its own mini story that at the end of it, even if it's ending on a cliffhanger, you feel quite satisfied that you've watched a drama in itself. I think if you go back to, you know, even referencing something like The Sopranos or Breaking Bad, the sort of golden age of TV, they work episodically even when they have these big overarching narratives. And I think that's a skill that has been lost a bit in the streaming service era, that a lot of them just seem to be a very long story broken up. And actually, that's not what you need to be telling. And I did like Alien Earth because there is a lot, but I think they did use it a lot of times that the episode felt satisfying as an episode. What happened, there was enough events in each episode relating to these characters that they felt like it had been planned as an episode rather than, okay, we've just seen a random collection of scenes from a much bigger story. And I enjoyed that tremendously. But yeah, I do agree that there's too many on a level. I think that's definitely true that, yeah, you have characters that by the end of the series, you're just thinking, well, they were bit parts. The one thing I think I did listen to the podcast that they ran alongside episodes of this series, the sort of visual podcast, and the very revealing statement from that was Noah Hawley talking about how this was pitched as a TV series that would run. So he wasn't pitching that I have this single story, we're going to tell this single story. If it's a success, we might come back. But something like Shogun, the recent TV series Shogun, which was, it is a story. I mean, it absolutely has a beginning, middle and end. And now they're doing another. It'll be interesting how the hell they managed to do it because they've told their story. It is absolutely complete and coherent. Whereas from the outset, this series has been made with the idea is we will be making future series of this. So I think you find that with a lot of the additional characters. I think a lot of the hybrids, the children synthetics, there are background ones that don't really get explored, or we only feel like we're at the start of exploring what they're going to be. That feels quite deliberately going, yeah, we'll come back to this. We've set up stuff that we might want to do with a future series. And I think that does lead to what is, in part, I think, a weakness of the series, but also something that is understandable. Is that you get to the final episode and virtually nothing is resolved. So it's set up these antagonisms between characters and then they don't play out. They don't come to a conclusion. Almost like you said, there's not enough death. they've set up these characters, they're interested. They're not going to kill them off. They want these for season two. But the end result is there's not much of a bloodbath. And I kind of feel, well, you do need that on some level because, you know, it's an alien film. That's what we're here for. And I think the final episode, rather than feeling like a conclusion, feels a bit like a holding pattern for a season two, which I hope we get. I mean, I don't think it's been officially announced yet, but it does feel like if we never get a season two, this will be much weaker as a drama if this is all we get. And I think that desire to create something that is designed to run over multiple seasons has created an underwhelming season finale.
I agree. As I said, I don't think it's a bad season finale. I also don't think, as some people said, that it's a season finale that just feels like another episode. I think it's an ending that feels very much in line with so many endings I've seen since the 80s. It's not the big cliffhanger, but it still creates a new status quo, and we know where the story's going to start off with. It feels like a season, but it feels like a season, as you said, that kind of, to some extent, it expects us to stay interested in characters and in storylines and in themes that have been underserved a bit, which I think works to different extents for me. I think it's mostly the themes. I mean, there's all these themes of, you know, human versus synthetic, different kinds of synthetic. And one thing that I always like in stories such as this, I mean, you've got the synth Kirsch, who is so proud of not being human, and in the way he is proud of not being human is so extremely human. I like that. His pettiness, there's almost a campness to some extent in how he rolls his eyes and how he's exasperated and how he loses patience. So his inhumaneness is extremely and funnily human. But then I think the whole thing about, you know, are the lost boys, these children turned into hybrids. Are they still the original people that they were? Are they something new? Are they something different? Are they just copies? I think the series and Hawley, they're very kind of proud to bring this up, even though it's not a new idea in science fiction. And then they bring it up again, and they bring it up again, but they don't really go very far with it. And I think that's where I would slightly disagree with you on. I think some of the episodes towards the end, probably the kind of penultimate one and the one before that, feel a bit like they could have easily cut one episode or basically turned it into just one episode, because there I felt it was treading water. There I felt it was a bit infected by the, what you rightly say about so much streaming TV, that there it would have benefited from thinking a bit more about, okay, what is the chapter that we're telling here? What's important to the chapter? Not just plot, but also just arcs and all of that. So I do think I liked it better in the first half than in the second half, with the best episode in some ways definitely being the middle one. And I think that's always a shame. If you start stronger than you end, it always feels a bit deflating and disappointing. Still good, and there's definitely potential there, but I think it means that I have to give the series a bit more trust than I think it quite has earned. But it's minimal. You know, I've watched very, very mediocre series just because, hey, we've started the story, we're going to end it. I'm still curious. I want to know what happens with Wendy. I want to know what happens with Kirsch and Morrow. I absolutely do think that the series would have benefited from being a bit more liberal at killing, because I think, for instance, there's an episode where one of the hybrids of the kids gets killed, and it's horrible and it's effective and it energizes the episode, because in the end, it wants to be, it needs to be horror to some extent. And there in that scene, it totally is.
And again, I think a real strength of the show is, I sort of realized halfway through, when we hadn't had much by way of death, that I would feel something whoever died from the main cast. There isn't anyone that feels like an also-ran that is, you know, second engineer that is going to just die in an alien film and they exist just to die. All of them feel like a death will have an emotional impact, both as me as the viewer, which might be cheering that someone horrible has died, but also they didn't deserve it. Or how is this going to happen now? And so it is in this good position to do that, that all the cast survive. And I'm still engaged enough to know, oh, in season two, which ones are going to die, because I still feel that will have an impact. But obviously that means that season one is robbed of the impact that would have been quite a few of these characters dying. I'm engaged enough that would have been suddenly, like you said, energizing. It would have suddenly felt like it had stakes, it had meaning, because we care about these characters, or we want them to die. We're emotionally invested in them. And that's a skill that they've done, that they've created a vehicle in the Alien universe where you feel that about all the leads, which, I'll be honest, after Alien, none of them have ever done. Like, they create casts that they exist to die, and they are teenagers in a slasher film. I don't care. Whereas here, I really care. I want them to die for the impact that we'll have in the storyline. But yeah, that's sort of slightly lost in the fact that none of them die, pretty much, by the end. There is a death, I think, in the penultimate episode, which is heartbreaking, which is absolutely like, and you kind of know it's coming. And the way it's shot is it builds on everything that's happened so far, and then it happens. And it's, I found that sort of one of those sort of highlights of the series. I really enjoyed that moment.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
I do think, just as a sort of different point on the plotting of it, is again, it sort of feels in, okay, I can forgive this because, you know, you want to get from A to B. But there are moments where it's stretching that a little bit, almost to breaking point. And I think one of the big examples of that is when they mind wipe one of the hybrids. So they realize they're a little bit disturbed. Well, let's just reset their memory to before the horrible thing happened. And you see that and you think, well, obviously this isn't going to end well. At some point, this child is going to realize they've had their mind wipe. But storytelling wise, they mind wipe the kid and then bring them to the kid wakes up in a room surrounded by one of the other hybrids. And the first thing they say is like, oh, that was weird when you did that thing just recently. So it goes from the mind wipe to the person realizing they've been mind wiped instantly, because that's where the storyline's going. It feels really dumb that they did that, that they mind wipe the kid and then just chuck them back with all the other kids who would have dozens of questions of why were you acting weird? They don't seem to think, well, we've mind wiped a kid. Maybe we need to sort of monitor the kid for a little bit. We need to, and then probably have a longer story where the kid slowly works out, my mind has been wiped. This is terrible. It's going to break me again. I sort of feel they could have gone that route, but we've not got much time. So let's just chuck it as the next scene. They wake up, they realize they've had their mind wiped. And I mean, another one that's sort of a very little one of that is when they try to communicate with the eyeball monster. The eyeball monster recognizes Arabic numerals. And it's sort of like, well, hang on, where did this come from? And you could have told a longer scene of them realizing there's an understanding of mathematics, and then this transforms into them realizing what pi is. But we haven't got that time. We've got this limited episodes. We've got this limited run of episodes. Let's just go straight to what's important and have the alien recognize human numbers. And all of these you can work around, all of which as a fan, you could probably find a reason to explain it if you really wanted to. But that sort of plotting of, we're just going to get to where we need to go. We're just going to race to get to these points. I sort of admire, because you have got a limited time, but it was occasionally, it's just like, oh, that's dumb. You know, that is sort of slightly dumb behavior. And again, those sort of decisions get vindicated by the conclusions that, you know, okay, we've had to jump on this bit of the story, but trust us, we're getting towards an ending, which is why we had to do it. And again, because we've not had an ending, it sort of feels like, oh, right, that sort of plotting feels a little bit choppy. It feels a bit more messy than I think necessarily it was. I think these were quite deliberate decisions. I think they knew that we could have done this more realistically, but it would have taken more time. And we're not going to bother with that. But then that race to get to an end only works if you get to the end and go, wow, rather than get to the end and go, oh, well. So, I mean, all of this sets up, like, I am very excited for a second season. I think I enjoyed the last few episodes more than you. I think the tension in those final episodes, the way the characters have changed by those final episodes, I think really worked for me. I was engaged in their story, and I want to see that where that goes in the second season, where everyone is. The rivalries, the betrayals, the revelations, they've all put us in this place where pretty much all of them, I want to know what happens next. So I'm very excited for it. I mean, my biggest fear is that it doesn't exist. It never happens. Because then I think that will weaken this show more. It will have much less of a rewatch value. But I can think if a season two comes along and it is as good as this season, or it has a few more years that does come to a conclusion, then I can see this being the first run of a show that I would find very rewatchable, in the same way that Alien or Aliens is rewatchable.
I mean, I'm definitely not as excited as you are, but I'm definitely curious. I think that's where I'm a bit afraid of one of the other flaws of present-day TV series, and especially streaming series, which is, I think at the very earliest, they've not announced that there's going to be a season two. I think there will probably be one, but at the very earliest, we can expect that in 2 years, if not even three. And I think that is something that really wreaks havoc with the excitement of series watchers. I think you can maintain excitement for a year, as we used to do in the good old days of the 80s and 90s. 2 years is stretching it. After 3 years, I think you basically have to get the audience again in a way that means you have to put at least, you know, a lot of effort into regaining their trust, regaining their interest. But that's a different discussion that's kind of independent from Alien Earth. I do hope that we won't have to wait 3 years, because it will definitely suffer for that. Also just because the kids will become older and it will be visible.
Yes.
And that's just a problem.
It'll stretch credulity. I don't know. I do know from what I've read that even though it hasn't been officially commissioned, they are working on it. There are scripts for it. They do know where they're going to take it. It's just, I want that now. And can we have that soon? I probably have a little bit more leeway, because I think the parallel the streaming services always go with is, oh yeah, but these are like films. You like to film, you waited several years after Empire Strikes Back to find out what happens in Return of the Jedi. I think they've convinced themselves that's acceptable. I think they're wrong, but actually something like this that is playing in such a sort of cinematic genre, I probably have a bit more time for it than necessarily I would for a lot of other more conventional dramas that end and you just, oh, can you just go back to these people solving crime? Come on, do it next year. How hard can it be? Because it's playing in this sort of grand space world, I probably will be excited in 3 years more than I would be for some other more down-to-earth dramas, even though this is Alien Earth. But yeah, it still feels too long. It just is like, can we have it next year, like you said, from the good old days?
I mean, I definitely don't think they would, that they turn this into something like Stranger Things, where suddenly the kids look like they're 35 years old and you realize you have zero interest anymore. I don't think they would do that. I think it's, from what they've done so far, I can see this running for 2-3 seasons. Who knows what happens then? Because there's definitely many more stories out there in this universe that can be told, regardless of whether it's these characters or not. And while I do have some kind of issues with, I think, especially the thematic storytelling, where I just think Noah Hawley is good at bringing up the themes, but he's not that great at developing them. So it can sometimes feel a bit like an undergrad who's clever, but also who's a bit full of himself. It's definitely, as I said, I think when it comes to genre TV storytelling, he is one of the best ones around at the moment. And if there are certain flaws, I think that's true for all of the greats. I think, you know, if I think back to things like the original Star Trek or Star Trek The Next Generation or then Buffy, let's face it, none of these series were perfect. All of them had their flaws, but we still loved them. So I think this could also be like that.
I mean, fingers crossed. we'll come back in 2027 or 2028 and maybe talk about it some more. But yeah, it is, I can see its flaws. But also, I can understand why some of them exist, because producing something, it's something you set out to do knowing you're not going to get everything 100%. So I can see that it's flawed, but I do enjoy it an awful lot. I think it's been my favorite TV program this year. So I've enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, now I just want more.
Very good. I think if a TV series achieves that, that's very much high praise. What about the franchise as a whole? Does it kind of reinvigorate your interest in future Alien films, or do you think it's best if it sticks to this for a while?
I mean, I think it just depends what they say they're going to do. I think there is scope for, like I sort of said, this has reinvigorated the idea that what works in Alien is not the xenomorph. What works in Alien is, it's an alien thing. We don't know what on earth it's doing. Oh my God, it's going to kill us in a horrible way. And so I kind of feel I'd be sort of quite excited about a film that is setting that up with something else, that is saying we're dealing with something we don't know what they're dealing with and it's awful. That feels like an Alien film I'd be far more excited than Romulus 2, watch us re-quote the classic film some more. That feels a bit like, I'd probably go see it, because it'll tick a few horror boxes, but it's not as exciting as sort of suddenly just something which is like no lore, no understanding, you're going in cold and something terrible is going to happen in the darkest reaches of space. I think if the franchise can run with the sort of new Alien concept cinematically, I'd be really into that. If it's just going to be, we're doing Romulus again, I'm less engaged.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. One Alien franchise installment that I am looking forward to is, there's a video game from 2014 called Alien Isolation, which I think does a fantastic job of making you feel like you're in an Alien movie. And that definitely reinvigorates the original Xenomorph. I played through it with a kind of virtual reality mod, which means that I have seen the aliens in a jaw very close to my face. It's one of the ways in which bringing these stories and bringing these ideas into a different medium has kind of reinvigorated them, which doesn't always work. There's a shit ton of really bad Alien and Aliens video games. But Alien Isolation was very good in 2014, and they are now working on a sequel. And I do hope that they take a couple of lessons, especially regarding what aliens could be out there and what they could do to our very, very vulnerable bodies. I do hope that they take those ideas from Alien Earth. So in that respect, I do think it's definitely one of the best things that has happened to the franchise in a long, long, long time. And yeah, in that respect, very much looking forward to what's going to come next. That's been it for our conversation about Alien Earth for now, until 26, 27, 28. Yeah. And in the meantime, thank you as always to our audience. Thank you very much to you, Alan. We will be back in another month's time with another damn fine cup of culture. Goodbye.
Goodbye.